Prime Football is the number one football call on radio.
Footy's on the radio.
And your front row.
For the Fiat Ducato, the most powerful front-wheel drive van in its class.
Welcome to the Saturday Rub.
For McDonald's fan feed boxes.
Triple M rocks football.
Too much. We've got too much for the next hour and a half. I can't fit it all in. I've been bombarded with requests for airtime. It's only an hour and a half before we get to Collingwood and the Saints, and we haven't got enough time to fit it all in. I'll tell you what's coming up later on. Charlie Dixon not far away. Bristol's got a bomb. It's a sizable missile.
Explosive
stuff. I can't wait for that. Spud reckons he's got Tony Lockett, but again, in the lead up to going to air right now, he's questioning whether he's going to have him, and there are also terms as to whether he turns up.
Well, his phone's off, Jim. That's the other problem.
He's out of range in the dividing range.
Yeah, exactly. An hour and a half. It takes 7 hours from Barrel to the Crown tonight to...
Yes.
Robert Harvey, inducted as a legend in the St Kilda Hall of Fame. So he's going down to honour him, and he's agreed to come on.
Yep.
And I'll have one question I'm going to hand over to BT.
Well, your terms are that Damo and I can never be a part of any discussion with Plugger.
You did say that.
He's been on twice.
I didn't say that.
And the problem is, I'm very glad that Bristle and Duck are involved in this interview, because you've run the last two and they've been real eye dryers.
So a rabble.
Just been flatteners, just... How many cows have you got? How much rain's fallen?
The weather.
No one gives
it
a stuff.
It went worldwide when I asked him how much rain he's had.
This is what we're doing today, just so you understand. When he comes on, we think it's around 1 o'clock.
Yep.
You come out of the break as the host of the segment.
So you've got to get the coat hire right.
You've got to get the McDonald's right. And then you've got to introduce Plugger much better than you did last time, where you broke down and couldn't finish.
So I'll build it up a little bit more.
Build it up nicely.
The whole segment is going to be self-contained by you, Spud.
That's it,
Spud. So when you give the credits, Brian, do I start low or do I hang under one of the pills to get the voice up?
Depends where you leave it with Plugger. You've got to do something different. So the inflections of this whole thing are really important. And if I don't hear you attempt to do that, there'll be trouble.
Do I pump you up... with Plugger as well, the Coleman medalist as well.
I'll probably fade a little bit.
Wouldn't need it, but this is how you went about introducing him last time, of course.
He's humble. He doesn't like talking about himself. He is the Don Bradman of our game. I'm sorry to get emotional, but I've lost it. Thank you.
Yes!
That is still the funniest audio.
You can't be doing any of that when he comes on.
I've just started sweating, God. I get the feeling you're still pretty emotional,
Spud. I think you could fall for that same opening.
I must admit, I down the Saints a couple of mornings a week, and the coaches sent something different to me because I'm excited.
I'm excited for Robert Harvey. Another man who's excited is the other superstar who's going to be involved in this interview, Wayne Carey. This is a message he sent our producer this morning.
One new voice message. Message received today at 11:01 a.m.
Lukey boy, Duck. Mate, geez, I can't believe how tully I am. I reckon I've had about 3 hours sleep last night. Been writing down all my questions for Plugger. I just can't believe how nervous I am about talking to someone on the phone. I'll never forget the first time I met him. I can't wait to see whether he remembers the first time I met him. Probably doesn't, and that's why I'm a bit toey. I think, mate, just can't wait. Very nervous though, mate, so sort of nurse me through it.
There are no more messages.
So, Spud, that's the king.
Yeah, well, I can understand that, why he gets a bit nervy.
You've got to calm him down as the host and get him ready.
So I sort of, in the ad break, we'll just have a quick chat to him outside and just say, mate, this is not...
That's it.
Yeah, just
that's
settle
it.
Down.
Because Damo and I couldn't give a stuff. We had 15 minutes off.
Well, I did mention you two guys to him, and he said, who?
I might start with something like, you know, Plugger, everything you tell Spud on the quiet ends up on Triple M.
You go with that, he'll never come on.
I might go with
again.
That at the start.
I wouldn't go with that, Brian. Remember Tony Jones wasn't going to go there? That's how it started.
So, Spud, and then at the end of it, you've got to thank him, and then you've got to tease what's coming up next.
What is coming up next?
Well, you've got to work that out. Yeah.
Well,
that's the role of the host.
You've got the car.
Spud, I'm out having a coffee with Damo. And then you got to do a nice job with Coates Hire, and then you got to get to the McDonald's throw. Spud, this is the bit I'm interested in.
You've just run me out of the... Hey, don't you laugh, because I'll ask Plugger about that day he kicked 11 and caved Peter Caven's head in to an inch of his life.
I think he's going to cave my head in too.
You
that day.
Got told to go and get the interview when he was getting onto the bus. He doesn't remember it, but I remember him getting on the bus to say, who was that binocular-headed guy?
Who did he chuck the crutches at one night?
That was Eddie. Eddie McGuire. That was after he broke his ankle. So he doesn't remember you, Warren. So I wouldn't bring that up.
I still remember that day, Spud. It was a very scary moment.
No, I'm happy to do it.
I'll
nail that.
Well, I hope you do.
Smooth.
And I want your intro to be good and strong. So I'll be listening to all that, Spud. But that's coming
Brian,
up.
Just before all of that, Spud, you might have something to answer to, but we'll get to that.
To that too.
Is
there's
that where
a nice,
the bomb is?
A nice no, bomb coming up.
Is it about me?
Yep. No.
Just get ready for
it. Yeah, it is.
I'd suggest you get ready for it.
That's a good one.
That's a nice one too, this one.
It wouldn't want to be...
Spud, we're not really going with it now. It's coming,
Brian,
and you better get ready.
I gave you spreading tea. No, Brian, you can't. I think I know
what it is. It has to be Ed.
That's crap. If you...
Spud, it's later, so don't get wound up about that now.
What about the story... The drink he says stealer. That, well, I'm going to name him then.
Well, no, Spud, no. Yes, this is what we're doing, right?
I got muzzled last week.
All through this week, in the Herald Sun, in the gossip column.
Scott Gullen.
It's been mentioned that we're revisiting the drink stealer. Because if you go back to 2010, ironically, it was St Kilda Collingwood, round 16. Have a listen to the original drink stealer audio. I've walked in to the sound of crisis meetings, to the sound of staff heads in.
Mate, the greycoats have got together on a crisis of monumental proportions that puts today's blockbuster between St Kilda and Collingwood in the shade, Jim.
Gary, I've gone and got a white cup, a plastic cup, I put ice in there, I went under the Diet Coke post-mix.
Which is a bad disgrace in itself.
Which we're only drinking because the drink stealer kept stealing the other bloody drinks. Under it went and vapour came out. Just gas. Just air. Just came out on top of my ice, Gary. Not a drink we can have in this area.
You two were late. Dave-O and I and Big Nose producer were privy to a meeting which had our ears buzzing. The five greycoats that just oversee the proceedings in the media room and the food spud have got together and have used the word the drink stealer is on notice. He's under surveillance today. And the food stealer.
So that was 2010. Now,
did we name him?
We understand that this week a second version of the same thing has emerged in our media ranks.
Ooh.
And it basically, Spud, it is all centered around the Gatorade.
Yeah.
The press conference.
Yeah. The press conference. The Gatorade that's plonked in
after
front of the coaches after the game, which is just for display purposes.
Advertising.
Advertising purposes.
So they're not cold.
Not cold, just displayed.
Lukewarm.
And then at the end of the press conference, when everyone's sort of winding up, my understanding is there's a Nipsey that hangs around and helps himself to a spud.
Well, what I've got is a little bit of CCTV
from
Eddie Haddon, the MCG. And what I'm going to do is actually just get guys that probably didn't do it. I'm not going to name. I'm just going to.
So there's a little bit of footage just in the left-hand bottom corner of the drink and a hand disappearing, isn't there?
But I've seen a bit of a silhouette of him, and he's got a bit of a gut.
You've done some investigation.
What's that?
You've spent the whole week investigating.
Investigation, and I got muzzled last week.
You did,
and you needed to.
But I got muzzled because what happened was the Big Nose producer had a bet on Campbell Brown not to finish the swim.
Oh no!
So that's all I was going to say, and I got muzzled for that.
And you needed to.
Yeah, it was un-Australian, and he was the guy, the Big Nose, that set up all the.
But you said it this week. You muzzled last week. You couldn't say it. Now you've said it this week.
Yeah, well,
I was going to go in more depth, but I'm just saying that I don't think I'll get muzzled on this one. I'm going to build it up over 3 or 4 weeks. The solicitors, Fitzy and Lee, come to my place and explain to me why I can't name the person. But
Spud, I know who it is.
Our listeners want to know who it is, Brian.
I know who it is.
He knows. He knows who it is.
Well, you're going to eliminate any because I actually know who it is.
You want me to start eliminating a couple?
Well, Spud. You've got to be very careful. This is a litigious area.
Peter Simonovic.
Oh, he's in America, Spud. Don't
he left for New York in 1989.
Okay, he's out. Haircut. Wiped him now, haircuts. For the people out there that don't know who Haircut is, it's Daryl Timms. He gets his haircut, his fringe, with a laser beam. It's that straight. He gets a dumpy level. And
come on, Spud.
He's a racing rider now.
But what I'd like to know, and I say this in the nicest possible way, is he alive?
He rides the races.
I know who it is, mate. There's no need to run through the whole list.
Bruce Matthews.
Not Brucey.
Maybe Red Wine. Roger Vaughan.
But did you just say
bike shorts?
Did you just say maybe Red Wine? Is that what you just said about Brucey?
Brucey has a couple. Have you seen his nose? It's like Carl Molden up the streets of San Francisco.
So are you suggesting that if there was a bottle of red up there, Brucey might help himself? Is that what you're saying?
I think he likes a bit of tip.
I won't have a bad word said.
Paddy Smith's out because he doesn't go. Patrick Smith, he doesn't go to any presses anymore.
Oh, he doesn't go to the footy, Patrick.
I've got to throw
still
Greg,
comments on it though.
Greg Venom Denham. Yeah. He's not allowed to go because you're not allowed to smoke in there now, so he gets on the big cigars.
But I know who it is, mate. I know.
Chip LeGrande.
You listening?
Chip LeGrand.
Chip LeGrand. Who?
LeGrand.
LeGrand. I've been calling him Chip LeGrande for 15 years.
That's a car, Spud.
Okay, he's out.
Come on.
Fat Gut Steve-O.
Oh, no.
Out, it's not Steve-O.
Jay-Z
You're getting rid of Steve-O very quickly.
No, I'm not. I'm keeping him.
No, it's not Steve-O.
He's in a tender.
I know who it is, too, Beats.
He's in a tender of these functions all the time.
Well, Channel 7, he does a great job.
Of course he does.
With Mick.
I know who it is. He's a very conservative sort of operator.
Does he like music? No?
I don't know.
Spud, how many more are you eliminating?
Jay-Z Clark. Right. He's starting to get a nice little veranda over the tool shed too.
Well, that
say no at the dinner table, Jay-Z.
He's pretty opinionated, the guy.
Spud, you can't just use this as a method of clubbing
Sam
blokes.
Sammy Edmund and your little apprentice.
Who's that?
Little wee man, Mitch Cleary. Just loves you and puts his head up your backside.
Mitch wouldn't do that.
Scotty, I don't know who he is. Anyway.
He's written someone down and doesn't know who he is.
What's his name?
Scotty Gallen.
Scotty wrote the article, so he wouldn't do it.
What have you written?
Most
of this investigation is going too well. BT knows the name.
BT already knows who it is.
Well, let's have a chat to Fitzy and the solicitors. We go through that pre-season with the nice young
girls. Why don't you just cut to the chase and name him?
Well, I better check it off with Lee first and Fitzy.
This person is different to the drinks dealer.
Yeah, I know that, but the listeners want to know who it is, and it's probably not stealing. He's just had a lend.
He was caught up in another controversy at one stage. Was he or not?
He's probably just had a lend.
Damo, did you hear that?
What? I heard what BT
said. No, BT says. Spud says, it's probably not stealing. He's probably just having a lend of them.
But if
he's lending the Gatorade.
Whoever it is.
What, do you just hand them back after you're drunk?
Whoever it is, put four slabs of Gatorade back in the presser, it before the game when no one sees.
You're going to lend of us, but
I think if he does that, name him then. Because he's then paid the penance.
I've never seen a man more wound up than you today, Spud. You're all over the shop, aren't you? You're just heckling someone out on the ground.
Tonight at Channel 7, when they do the presses, I'm going to ask them to keep the cameras rolling. Just 10 seconds
when the coaches walk out
and see if we can see the hands coming.
I don't think there's a wedding ring on his left hand. I know that. So I'm not sure whether he puts the wedding ring on or not. But
all right, we've got Charlie Dixon to get to. We've got a very, very big show. Tony Lockett, Spud reckons, is coming.
He's
handling that whole quarter hour. Bristol's got a bomb that talks to behaviour.
This is going to blow it out of the water.
It's about me, Brian.
I think this is my biggest bomb ever.
Mate, we've got a long way back, Brian.
Do not go anywhere.
This is good.
Luke.
An hour and a half of the Saturday rub. It can never be missed.
It's not me, is it?
Let's talk about Friday night's game. Of course, Port Adelaide, Essendon. It was 17-10, 112 Port to 7-9-51 Essendon. It was always comfortable after a blistering first term from Port Adelaide, and they cruised to what was probably a pretty predictable victory. But big recruit in the off-season, Charlie Dixon, kicked 3 goals, 2, and is going to be a big presence for Port Adelaide in their forward half. And he joins us now. Charlie, welcome, mate.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
How'd you find last night? Essendon Footy Club that were coming off a win but were undermanned, and you got away to a nice start. It must have felt good that first quarter.
Yeah, definitely. I think we had a mindset that we needed to respond to the way we played last week and to bring that Port Adelaide football and that aggressive pressure and all around the ball. So it was good to get the start, but there were still a few things that we need to sort of work on, but it's an improvement.
How are you finding the cauldron that the Adelaide Oval is, Charlie?
Oh, it's unreal, mate. It's a special ground and the crowd's unreal. I'm only just starting to experience that now, and to be a part of that, it's unreal.
Charlie, how'd you go during the week? Because you know obviously the Gold Coast, and it's fair to say you don't get a lot of media, but Adelaide and the big game last week, you let yourselves down as a club. How did you find that scrutiny throughout the week, and especially Ken Hinckley's game plan coming under a bit of scrutiny as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely different to the Gold Coast and what I'm used to. But I mean, we deserved everything we copped. I mean, we lost a little bit of respect from our fans and the media and whatnot. But we know the way we play; it works, and it's definitely tough. I mean, I've never experienced this sort of scrutiny down here, but it was good to respond the way we did. But we've got to make it a week in, week out sort of thing.
No, you certainly responded in spades. Do you like the new changes to the rules? And I know that you're a key forward and a deep forward, and it just seems Port are using you as the go-to man about 0-30. Do you thrive on that, being the go-to man? Up the Gold Coast, you had Tom Lynch and May and Day, etc. But it seems like a lot of longer kicks are going to you to create a contest.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's sort of what we've... last week we probably sort of did it a little bit too much, and I think a little bit more method coming into the 50, and that's going to sort of come together a bit better as time goes on, where I'm learning to play with the boys and sort of vice versa. But I like sort of playing that sort of deepest. I mean, it's always good to play pretty deep, but I felt like this week I tried to get up and just sort of stay on my toes a bit more. Last week I felt stagnant and made it sort of easy for the defenders to play on me. So I think, yeah, if we can sort of move up and work back and it doesn't matter who's kicking goals as long as we're kicking goals sort of thing. But if I can create that contest and bring the footy to the ground, I think our smalls can get it done.
Hey, Charlie, it looked like last night effort and energy were zoned in on. There was plenty of that. I'm talking about the tackling pressure and just the intensity of pressure generally. And also the run was back for Port Adelaide. Did you target that area?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the way we've wanted to play. And that's been our game style, is to take the game on and sort of make it up, and sort of our backs did really well. Jas was unreal, sort of just running and taking the game on and sort of making us work. And that's the way we love playing, that way. It's fun footy and just, yeah, getting the ball in quick and sort of not giving, and then locking it in and not giving them a chance to sort of get that ball over the top. That sort of happened in the first couple of weeks.
Well, tackles in forward 50 would absolutely back you up there. I reckon you had 13 last night. They dropped right off the week before in the showdown, and that was always what Port Adelaide did to set up their game style.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what we strive to do, and that's our game plan, is to have that massive forward pressure and sort of not stop until we get a goal and then reset and then just go from there. I mean, that's sort of Port Adelaide football, and that's what we sort of strive to bring every week, and that's what we will. That's the standard now.
Charlie, you sound genuinely buoyant here, hearing you talk about your time now at Port Adelaide. There are a lot of problems with your previous club at the Gold Coast, and unfortunately for yourself, you and Harley Bennell became the face of those problems. Even last week, Nick Malcheski made quite a provocative statement. He said that we as a footy club made a statement last year by moving on Charlie and Harley, that was a big step forward. And that they're his words, not mine. Do you feel unfairly linked to that bigger problem at the Gold Coast now that you've left the club?
I don't know. That's the first I've heard of it, mate. I don't know. It's been tough. I mean, I was at that club to start with and sort of seen it grow. And stuff like that. It's not nice to hear. But, I mean, if that's what they think, that's what they think. I mean, I've felt like I contributed a fair bit to that club. But and it felt like it was time for me to move on. I mean, for on-field and off-field reasons, I felt like there was more for me somewhere else. And if Nick, that's what he's feeling. I mean, I'm very happy with where I am at Neo, and very very excited to just keep moving forward with Port and see where the boys are, see where we can end up this year.
Yeah, I hear. Is it too easy for people to reflect on what happened at the Gold Coast in the initial years of that cluddy football club to blame it on yourself and Harley?
Maybe, mate. I mean, it's always going to be that sort of stuff gets thrown around. But people are going to say what they want to say, mate. I've moved on from it. And, I mean, if they're still sort of looking at that as we were the problem, I mean, that's fine. They're more than welcome to say whatever they want. I'm happy where I am, and I know Harley's happy where he is.
Yep.
Charlie, you played with Gary Ablett and, you know, superstar player. Tell us a little bit about Robbie Gray. You obviously knew he was a good player, but in your eyes now, coming forward, you must be delighted at the fact that he's got the ball in his hands.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, playing with Gaz, I see a lot of similarities with Robbie. I mean, he's very tough in and under, and to be able to distribute the ball the way he does under enormous pressure is ridiculous. And I love watching him play, and just these last couple of weeks has been unreal. He's just a genuine workhorse. Gets the ball, gets it out, and distributes to the boys, and gets forward and kicks goals. He's very dangerous. I mean, with Gaz, they look similar on the field. They play similar. Like it's massive. He's unreal, and I love playing with him.
Are you given the best side available for Port Adelaide, Charlie? Are you always going to be the deepest forward, and when Schultz's back in the side, etc., are you always going to be that deepest person down the forward end?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we sort of, the way our team roles sort of go is that no one holds down one spot at all. I mean, like, we rotate throughout these roles, but I mean, sometimes the way it is, I'll end up high, Schultz, you'll end up like Chatty can be one out, Robbie will be one out, because we rate everyone very highly in a one-on-one contest.
Hey, Charlie, as we let you go, it probably won't surprise you that during the course of this interview, Campbell Brown has bombarded my phone with questions that I could be throwing at you. How many of them do you reckon are even remotely appropriate for me to ask?
I don't know, mate. I can
tell you that there are five questions here, none of which I could go to air with.
What have you been up to, Charlie?
What have you been doing?
Well, that is that's Campbell Brown, isn't it?
Yeah. Hey, mate, good luck. A big change for you, but a good change, I reckon. And it looks like you're loving playing footy. Great last night with three goals. Thanks for joining us.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well done, mate. Charlie Dixon, three goals. Yes, mate.
No, a very good player, BT. And there's no doubt Ken Hinckley. They went a little bit too long. They're mixing it up now. Wingard wasn't there, but he doesn't get any smaller.
When we're interviewing Plug, will he say Brian or will he just say mate?
No, I'll say BT.
Okay.
He knows you as BT.
Charlie was a bit matey, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. There's nothing gets past Plugger. People say he doesn't.
So he knows more than he lets on.
He does. There's no doubt in that.
Have you got your intro ready?
Let's hope he's not in there.
No, I've just been watching Neural. I've filmed when we go to this ad break. I'm going to film it and just go outside and practice it a couple of times. Because I must admit, I've taken all that for granted.
Spud.
And now I watch. Well, you're very sharp.
Once you're on with it yourself, you've got to... Because the Saturday Rub family, of which there are millions, hence the number one rating, they'll be expecting a level.
Can you run me past this inflection thing? What's that?
Up and down, you know, depending on the gravity of the situation and the comment you're about
to
make.
But this is a big, big
one,
isn't
it? So you've really got to distinguish lower volume voice box from upper and middle.
So give the creds the voice you deserve. But when I introduce Plugger, I've actually got to go up a bit higher.
And JB, I've been holding onto this load for a long time. When can I unload this heavy psychological load on me?
You better get ready because Bristol's got a bomb.
For me?
And it's coming very quickly. Duck's here already. It's an ease an hour early.
He does look nervy.
We've got some tweets.
Jim, the pack's up and about today. Ben Walker, can't wait for Spud to be thrown under the bus by Bristol. And that's become a theme. Also, Adrian Pickles, keep it together, Spud. #Hashtag Bradman of our game. There's a bit of pressure on you today.
Yeah. There is.
Nathan Grossen Ball, Spud. Name names. And that's
Casey. Just on that, there's been an update.
Oh.
It hasn't been a one-off. This has been going on. I've got some texts here from colleagues.
Oh, this is not a one-off.
Mate, the media now are throwing each other under the bus. A couple of media personalities.
So they all want to get onto your list of who it is not.
Well, what they've said, this is not just a one-off. This has been going on for 2 to 3 years, Brian.
Oh, no. So, jeez, when you add that Gatorade up, that's enough for the whole MCG.
There's 3 or 4 games in Melbourne over a weekend by 22, which is 88. So there's 88 bottles in 1 year. You double that, you've got, 160, 176. Mate, he needs probably half a truckload.
Any other tweets?
Ash Casey, I'm going to put Ash to Ash's mind at rest here. Lots of huff and puff in the early doors. Let's see if this Triple M at Triple M footy team can actually blow the house down with bombs. And from what I think I know of BT and his bomb he's about to deliver, Ash, stay listening.
I don't know whether I want to do this.
My wife and kids are actually listening today.
You might want to leave the box.
I don't know whether I want to do this.
I've never seen Spud like it.
Oh,
he's now starting to doubt whether Plugger can actually be contacted.
Well, he can't be.
And Spud's got to run the whole segment, so he's got to come out of the break. He's got to mention, of course, our great sponsors.
That's right.
Then he's got to introduce Plugger.
Yep.
Much better than you did last time where you blubbered like a howling three-year-old
and
were unable to operate. Then you've got to drive the interview with Duck and Bristle.
Yep.
Make
it interesting. Don't ask him about rainfall and cattle heads. And then, at the end of that, you've got to... Are you listening to me, Spud?
I am.
At the end of that, you've got to thank him. And then you've got to go to a break teasing what's coming up next and thank our great sponsors again.
And, Jim, I think he's going to have to be doing all of that coming out of a coma position after BT finishes with his bomb.
Can you go through that all again?
No, Spud.
I've got it on video, like...
Spud.
Mate, I can concentrate on one thing at a time.
So get all of that right.
But that's about 6 things.
Well, no, that's why the job of a host is critical.
Craft.
Okay.
All right, so we're leaving that with you. But, Bristle, you've come today saying, Jim, JB, just give me a little look at some time because I've got something.
Well, this is a big day for
you.
You
all know
Kilda,
that
Ron.
Like the champions of our game have got statues around the ground here. Lee Matthews got a statue out there, Spud.
Yep.
Yeah, and rightly so.
Polish says it every week. He's the greatest coach, probably one of the greatest coaches ever.
Yeah, player. The best player ever.
To be involved in the game.
Four-time premiership coach.
Kevin Sheedy, is he 3 or 4-time?
Four.
He's probably a great coach as well, and, all these guys. And so what's been happening is it's come to my attention that the EJ Witten game this year, they're going to try and...
Because they're doing it differently. It's a big thing in the bye week.
Yeah, it is at the end of the year.
And they're
going back to, the champions of the game. That's instead of the Luffies and all these sort of guys playing.
Luffy, I'm still there. I'm still there, Spud.
The hacks that have been playing, in some of these games.
No.
Not just Luffy, but just a few. So they've gone back to the champions and all that sort of thing. Now, it comes to my attention that I think Ned Kelly is running the game. I think he's going to run the game.
He runs everything else.
But in terms of the actual broadcast side of things, it's a 7 thing this year.
Yeah, it is.
Has been 9 for a long, long time.
And done unbelievably well on 9.
Incredibly well. Yep. And so for the same reason, the EJ Witten, prostate cancer, all that sort of thing.
Yep.
So,
wonderful course.
Yeah, wonderful course. All that. Well... You wouldn't believe it. In the highest office at Channel 7 last Monday, after hearing that Channel 7 were the head broadcasters of this game, I'm told that the red phone in the office rang until
we're talking to Lewis Mutton, the boss of
the GM.
It's a bit early. You released it early.
Guess who was on the phone at the other end to the GM of 7?
Who?
No.
In this box, Danny Frawley has rung the GM of 7 and demanded that he be the coach of the EJ Witten game.
Oh, no!
Instead of Lee Matthews, Kevin Sheedy, all the greats, he's demanded to be there, Spud.
Spud.
You can't have done that.
You said you can't have this game without me.
Back to me, mate. This is a disgrace.
You can't have this game without me, he said. He said, I've got to be there. And the funniest thing was,
ringing Lewis Mutton live on
because that was a confidential conversation.
Oh, Spud.
And he's told Big Head Brian about it.
You just confirmed the bomb.
And he said...
Yeah, I did. But I'm not confirming it. It wasn't that big of a bomb.
And he said, look, you don't need Lee and, Sheedy and all these guys. You need me. He said, those guys have got no personality.
Nah.
He said, I missed the personality.
I did.
You need personality.
Look at me.
This is personality. You need me.
This is bullcrap, Brian.
Mr. Bungaree personality.
BT.
Get me in there.
I'd like to be a part of it.
Did you really do that? You work for another network.
As long as I got released from Fox Footy because in the past,
hang on,
we weren't
before
allowed
he
to get
involved. I'm also led, to believe that he had actually been to see his boss at Fox to see whether he could be released.
Spud! That's true.
Spud,
you don't even work for this network,
but this
which
is a great cause,
it.
And I love EJ.
Spud.
I love the great EJ.
One prelim with Richmond gets you over Kevin Sheedy and Lee Matthews,
statue,
who are four-time premiership coaches.
I'll tell you what I said.
He's got a statue.
I did mention their names, and I said, look, I can be their assistants.
But
it might be a bit boring if they're coach. I just left it at that. Yes. I just said it would be just a bit flatline because Brian and I have got a good relationship, and Lee
can you
and
Sheedy
will be a bit... glass. So I didn't actually put my name out there.
Oh, really?
You're thinking of the viewer, Spud. You're actually thinking of the viewer.
I was thinking of Brian and I. And
demanded to be the number
BT,
one. I said,
look
at me coach of the Allies. He said, no, coach
Brian,
of Victoria.
You and I had a chat a couple of days later, and we're going to try and get someone else to help. Yep. Now, that could just fall flat in its face, and he may want to help.
So you're threatening
Plugger.
Now.
Plugger.
Yeah, he said he
well,
might
have. Well, Plugger hasn't
come through. It's another block.
Well, I thought
go with all this promising Plugger to everyone.
Well, he's the only bloke you'd care about enough to worry about.
I thought I'd definitely get the gig if I had Plugger as my assistant.
Did you? Spud.
No, I did. Brian.
What behaviour are you carrying on with?
That was a confidential conversation with Lewis Martin. If he's done the director's course like I have, confidential means... It doesn't go anywhere, Lewis.
You don't work for Channel 7.
I exactly know that.
You can't just swap stations when you want to make it about me.
Do you want me to go where anyway. Why I didn't do it the last 5 years?
Spud, it's all, no, we
Channel
don't.
Channel 9 and the EJ Witten Foundation. But
because they didn't ask you?
Spud,
no, they asked me.
Spud, it's all about men's health, and that's why you want to be involved. That's why I want to be involved.
Men's health.
It's all about men's health, and that's where it's at.
It's men's health. Men over 40, do you understand
Spud,
this? Yep. There's a heart attack every 9.5 minutes.
Yep.
Prostate, colon cancer, depression. Men don't talk. Channel 7,
I think Spud's
going to
have the test. He's going to have a colonoscopy myself.
Well, if I get a colonoscopy, I've at least got to be coach. I'm not going to just get something rammed up me blurter valve.
Spud, you are, just to take you back in this conversation a minute or so.
I'm going to get you to do the boots.
You are the least confidential person I've ever met. You and Bill Brownless are the worst keepers of a secret I've ever come across.
That's a bit harsh. This is supposed to be a good day for me. I'm nervous. Like it's here. I've got a couple of guys here I'm throwing to the
Plugger.
Bus.
Where's Plugger?
Do you want to call us footy for Channel 7 tonight as well?
Warrior, do you want to get thrown out of the box?
We need to get to an M-Sport update. So Plugger, 15 minutes away.
Yeah, but I've got a couple of guys I want to put on notice.
All right.
After the break.
All right, after the break.
Are you going to name anyone today?
Yeah, a couple of guys. And look, I've been criticised in the past for keeping it insular. Yep.
I know who it is, but...
No, I've got a couple of guys that are going to get smacked.
For the fear...
They've been really smacked now.
For the fear that you can't...
A couple of adjectives.
So the takeout from that, Spud, is this. You can't do anything in this town without us finding out about it. So you've gone to the head of 7, tried to talk your way into being the coach of the Vics in the Legends game.
Despite working for Fox Footy.
Even though you worked for another network, and even though Lee Matthews and Kevin Sheedy were in the running.
I got Guernsey from Fox Footy now calling me up.
Well, so you should. This clandestine behaviour never works, Spud. You should know that.
It's for men's health. I'll just get back to
that. But Spud, we know all that.
No, but I'm going to just stick by that.
Oh, are you? That's going to get you off the hook, you reckon?
I would have thought.
It's your only out. Yeah.
It is my only out. I'm just sticking to it.
Now,
I'm hanging on the edge of the cliff.
15 minutes away from Plugger. You're running that whole segment. Duck and Bristle.
Well.
I don't know where the producers are.
Oh, no.
I've tried the big
shot. We tried him again.
Duck might back me up because Plugger from Barrel... to the Hume Highway, which we're talking Albury. So he's got to be there tonight at about 7. So from Barrel to Albury goes the back way. So I don't know the town.
What are you saying?
It's out of service in that area. No. But all
so
I'm saying
is... he's not coming on. Is that what he's saying?
He said, I could be out of service in the car. Now, that he can't sit in his Toyota Ute and just wait for us to call.
No,
all due respect.
There are towns dotted all along that road, Spud. And when you come to a town, you normally get service.
All right. Look, he'll definitely come on, but I just can't guarantee it'll be today.
So, Spud!
You've heard me call him twice, and it's out of range. That's what it says on his phone.
So you're under-promising
no, I'm not.
And under-delivering.
No, I'm not. The listeners, don't throw your shovel on the ground or just if you're in the garage out the back, just relax.
Now,
all the pressure is on me, but just take a chill pill.
You realise, though, that Jim and I have got a coffee booked out there. Yeah, so whether he comes on or not, you have to do the whole segment.
I'm happy to do it. You know why? If you keep talking like that with your chin up, I might have to chin you. And I know we're not allowed to go down that path either. We can't do anything now. I'm gagged this, I'm gagged that. No physicality.
Good. Now, Purple, let's straighten up a little bit. Yeah, a couple of stories that have caught our attention. Going to get to the grand final replay getting scrapped in just a sec, but you've had a great view of the Friday night schedule now for a long time.
I have, Jim, and it's in light of the Friday night schedule being the pinnacle for AFL football. It's meant to be the main game each week. We had a situation last night where it wasn't the main game. I understand how it happened last night when this fixture was done last year, BT. Yep. Essendon had not had the WADA finding come down. So it now is down. They played last night. And Essendon supporters, please, I'm happy with what you're doing. I love what you're doing as a footy club. I love John Worsfold's coaching. So this is not directed at you again, like you're probably going to think it's going to be. But on top of last night's offering, Jim, which was a nice match to watch, but let's face it, you're not going to watch it unless you're involved in either of those two teams. We've got an Essendon game on in round 12, a Hawthorn game against Hawthorn.
Friday night
at Etihad Stadium. That has to be moved. We've got a Thursday night game, a standalone Thursday night game involving Essendon 2 against West Coast in Perth in round 15. So we've got two more Essendon matches in these primetime slots. Simon Lethlean, he's never done it. The AFL has never done it. But if we want to keep the currency around this primetime slotting of football on the Friday night particularly and on the lesser extent the Thursday night, which they are developing as a primetime slot, BT, and are very keen to make it as much a primetime slot as Fridays in certain weeks, we can't be dishing up the type of game that was offered last night.
So have the NRL got a system where they can change?
It's still a flexible 6 weeks in advance, as far as I know.
So
we haven't done that.
What is the answer to it? What can you do?
What they will do, BT, is keep it as it is. They won't change it. They never have, and they don't like being told that they should. But I've got a strong view, Jim, and you know I have. It's not the first time I've said this. I said this last year on a couple of other examples that were offered. We cannot, to me, have a substandard offering in those slots. And unfortunately for Essendon this year, and again, I just want to back over, I really like how they're going about it. So remove the linkage of me saying this about Essendon with this comment. We cannot have Essendon in primetime slots.
I've got to have blue chip games there. There's no doubt about that. And we can't afford to erode what Friday night is. It is the premier blue chip spot. And it needs to remain that.
We're going to have bad games. Don't get me wrong. We're going to have bad games. We can't go into them with no anticipation about the game. As we unfortunately did last night,
so
when it's all said and done.
Logistically, can it be done?
Oh, Jim, they can do anything. We cancelled a game of footy last year for reasons that were the right reasons. It can be done, but I don't. I mean, you know the way they work there. I don't expect them to.
Well, they do it in the last round of the year, of course. They don't. No one knows where
they've kept that one open. Yep, so. But between now and round 12, there's plenty of time to do whatever they want, and there'll be an outcry should they go down the path because it is that first one, round 12, a home Essendon game against Hawthorn, but if Hawthorn is on song in that game, that's going to be another ugly experience. And another ugly experience for the viewer as well as the footy club.
BT, as a premier caller at 7, is Friday night what it used to be for the host broadcaster? Is it, like I remember when we were doing 9 footy back in the early 2000s, neither of us were attached to Friday nights, but it was massive. It was massive for
that's when it was
us
set
for
up.
5 years.
Yep. The foundation was laid then, and they did a brilliant job at it. Now, what happens now, I reckon, is that because Fox are paying as much or more than what 7 are paying for the rights, they get to pull a little bit and they get a few favours going their way, and you just can't get the games you necessarily want on Friday night anymore because you've got too many people pulling at the pie to try and stretch it this way and that
Saturday's
way.
Saturday's a big two now. The viewing audience Saturday night's a massive.
Yeah, I think your Saturday night games would have been a lot better games over the whole season last year. It nearly looks that way on paper again.
The problem is, Damo, they do the fixture in October.
October-ish,
It's a long way out, isn't it?
It is. I understand the certainty around a locked-in fixture too because people do need to plan. You've got people coming into state on a lot of occasions and just the certainty around a locked-in fixture. But I think when you identify a problem this far out, and that is a problem, and come around 12, that game is going to be an issue, and we'll be talking about it in the lead-up to it unless they do something about it.
And, of course, then there's the situation that you might end up having two bad teams play a Friday night game, but it could be an absolute cracker. It
could
end up being a point the difference. Yep. So, but, you know, the quality is always probably not going to be there.
We've lost Bud because they've got Bounce up on one of the screens and he's just turning around looking at himself.
No, I'm not. I'm just...
he hasn't spoken for 3 minutes.
I'm checking
because
my phone.
He's just seen himself on the television.
Well, turn that off. I'm worried about getting Tony on. I think he's in a bush area at the moment.
No, hey, Thursday night footy show, you broke the story that the grand final replay most likely gone.
Good and story, Dave.
Perhaps
mate.
As early as
well,
this year.
Right.
Possibly as early as this year, Jim. A document is being put to the AFL Commission. I expect they'll have a vote on it, whether it's in the same meeting with which they discuss it or the subsequent meeting. But either way, I do believe there'll be a ruling made, be it for this year or
have you got a feel which way it might go?
I do have a feel the push, BT, for change on this is now so strong that they'll have no choice.
So we currently have three different ways of deciding a game. Home and away, finals, and grand finals. Surely it's got to be amalgamated into one, doesn't it?
I think the conversation around the grand final should actually also take in home and away matches. Jim's massive on the home and away match being also decided on a...
I think the whole thing should be 5 minutes either end, and if it's still level, next score wins. It's as simple as that.
Including the grand finals.
Including the grand final. Excuse me. Now that you've put it on the agenda, I think they've just got to do it. I think the fans want it. We heard the players.
Of course they do.
The players
want
it.
Cloak and Montagna, who are both a part of that drawn.
The only reason they don't want it done is history. The only thing I can understand from this is that that's the way it's been.
It is, BT, and that's part of this document.
When they were mining gold 100 years ago, Damo, they didn't get it all out of the ground, and they're going back to redo the mines that they mined. I mean, they don't always do things the way they should in the old days.
Well, they've changed it, Brian, because back in the day, and we're talking 1900s, if you finished on top of the ladder and you lost the grand final... you could ask for a replay the following week, and that is fact. They used to be able to do that. Some sides elected not to do it, but they did used to do that.
The argument that it's only happened three times, 1948, Melbourne Essendon, 1977, Collingwood, North Melbourne, and 2010, St Kilda, Collingwood. I think it's irrelevant to say it's only happened three times, so what about this rule? We then very nearly last year, BT, had a... when I say very nearly, we entered the final series, Fremantle 1, West Coast 2 on the ladder.
Yep.
The AFL was preparing for an all-West Australian grand final. Now, had that came about, had it come about with a draw, it would have been a disaster to have forced, under the AFL rules, those two clubs to come back the following week, along with their supporters, who are as much a key about this discussion as anyone else. And while the AFL made $8, $9, $10, maybe even $15 million profit out of what happened in 2010 with the replay, that's not going to happen should there be a non-Victorian team as part of a replay.
As I understand it, Andrew Demetrio was very big on the replay staying and almost got to a stubborn point it just was like a needle stuck in the record groove and he wouldn't move on it.
That's what Andrew did. And that was good for the game for a long time.
So now we've got Gill in there. I think it's got to change. And anyone, Bristol, who has been to a game where there is overtime played, it is electric.
Yep.
Once the game finishes and they go into the huddles and you get the two ends of extra time, it is electric. And it is as good as our sport gets, that extra time bit. Hmm. It should happen home and away. It should happen throughout the finals. And when it does, it is to be savoured and enjoyed.
It is great. And it happens in every major sport around the world. Isn't it interesting, though, that they don't want to change things that are a little historic and have been done in our game for years, yet the game itself has been completely butchered by the sports scientists.
Oh, there you go. Come on, Cecil.
All right.
The other sport component to it, the North Queensland heroics last year in the NRL grand final, particularly with Jonathan Thurston.
JT.
That is part of this discussion paper, how good an experience and TV and historical moment that game was. And that's part of this discussion, and I think it's a compelling argument as much as anything else.
I just want to go back to BT's thing about the sports sides. And down at St Kilda, Matt Hornsby is one of the best.
He's
at Richmond.
Fantastic. Yep.
He was at Port, and now he's at St Kilda.
Yep.
He has said he's happy to come on at some stage.
He's a football. He's a football guy, though.
Yeah, but
I'm talking about the scholars. That
yeah,
have
but
no
he
idea.
Said that there's no player under his tutelage have never been told they can go out and kick goals, extra shots at goal.
But this is all very interesting. But next it's you and Plugger,
yep,
and Duck and Bristle. So are we ready?
Well, if we get him on, we're ready.
Well, what do you mean if?
As I said,
one more call. We've got to get him.
Yeah, we'll get him.
So Duck's coming in for it if you do get him on. How did you go against Duck?
Oh, look, early days. I think he started in 89, and I was probably 91, 92, you know, at the top of my game. I was fairly good then. And he was young, so I sort of got the better of him. But even later on in my years, 94, 95, the last 2 years, I would have halved a few contests. Oh, but it's fair to say...
Nonsense,
he probably got me just, I reckon, 94, 95. But I'm happy to say
should
that.
Should we look at some records, BT? No. Before we...
You can look at as many records as you like. As I said, I halved a few contests, but I thought he got it.
Duck didn't halve contests with anyone, mate. Apart from maybe Djokovic.
He probably got hold of me a little bit, but not much.
So you're claiming you've halved a few contests with
him. In 94, 95, Brian, I was knackered, and he was at the top of his game, and I was hanging in there. I thought I held my own.
He politely says... In answer to that question, Spud was getting to the end when I first sort of played against him. But when you ask him off here to translate that, he says, mate, I humiliated him to the point
I don't think so.
Where it was only a couple of minutes and then he got moved on to someone else.
Well, Warrior, get as many stats as you like.
And the end activity was pretty close to the start activity.
Spud, Jim, flat white, please.
Get ready for this. You're picking it up. Okay. You're doing the stats, the sponsors. Then you're introducing Plugger and get it all done.
As you can see here, the captain's left a sinking ship. We've got Brian Taylor, 1986 Coleman medalist.
Kicked
100 goals. No, I'm not butchering it, Brian, at all. And we've got one of the best players, in my opinion, the second best player that's ever played the game in the big Wayne Carey. Welcome, Duck.
Yeah, g'day, Spud. How are you, buddy?
Don't worry about us, Spud. Where's...
The listeners out there, they're obviously...
How long till Plugger's on?
He'll be on now, mate. So I'm just going to call him right now. And as you know, Duck, he's coming from Bowral on the country roads. And then he gets on the Hume at Albury.
Hang on, where's he coming from? So through...
Bowral.
Yeah, Bowral, yeah.
On the country roads.
Yeah, and he's coming, so from there to Melbourne today.
Oh, yeah, he is. And he's going to get a crown tonight about 6:30. So he's probably just left house. And as you know...
So what's the issue?
He's not in range for the Telstra, so he's got
he's
Telstra.
Coming from Bowral. I've never had an issue with the range.
Duck, you said you said off air that there's a couple of towns...
Spud,
that
you haven't actually spoken to Plugger, have you?
I have, Brian.
In fact, you get four bars all the way through there.
No, that's crap, Duck. this is how big he is. There was 370 people booked for the function for Robert Harvey getting inducted as a legend tonight.
Yeah.
When word got out that Lockett was coming, they now got 1,000.
Well, when word got out on this station that we were going to have Lockett on, there's 300,000 that have tuned in, Spud. And,
probably 450,000, Brian.
And what have we got?
Well, we're going to call him right now.
All right, let's go. Try. Now, it hasn't been good up until now. We
the mobile phone you are calling is switched off or not in a mobile service area.
Here we go again.
Please try again later.
Spud.
The mobile phone you are calling.
I have had 3 hours sleep. I've been up all night just thinking, you know, what am I going to... I just got back from a run, early.
I've got it all written here.
Yeah, I know.
1360 at 70%, four daughters, boyfriend, how do they go? Andrew Pritt and Paul Kelly, 300-odd breeders, Angus, goal-kicking, short science getting in, Robert Harvey, legend status. I've got it all here.
I've got the name of every greyhound he's ever trained. That's how in-depth I've gone here.
And that's fair enough. And as I said, all I can do is he said he could be out of range on the way down to Crown.
Now, I don't think you even know him, Spud.
I do. And what about our captain? Hasn't he left a sinking ship at the moment? Sure. He's absolutely weak as cat's piss at the moment, JB.
Spud, this is never happening again.
No, this happened a couple of years.
You have said to us, with your head wobbling off, I'm going to provide Plugger Lockett. He's coming on. Don't worry, he's the biggest name in football. Oh. And when he comes on, you and Damo bugger off because he couldn't give a stuff about you. The same boring shit we've had to put up with now for the last 5 years.
When the vinegar
strokes arrive, you can't deliver, Spud.
Get stuffed. Duck, look.
I don't think he cares about you, Spud.
He doesn't give a stuff about you.
No, he cares about Robert Harvey. That's why he's going tonight. And he did say he'd come on today if he was within range.
He gave someone from the Herald Sun an interview during the week.
Spud.
When?
Neil Cordy.
Cordy's a Sydney guy, so he would have known him through the Sydney Swans.
Spud, do you want me to give you a pricey on the last 5 minutes of radio that you've provided our station with?
Oh, well, it's fair to say it's not great.
Spud,
I'm going.
Don't go, Brian.
That's all it is, Spud. It's just a great big exhalation of air.
I'm off too.
No, don't go, Duck. No, I've got two guys. I'm going to get rid of these two guys just off the bat.
So Plugger's not coming on. He's done.
Well, he's not coming on. We'll try him again at some stage. No. Just try him once more.
Bristle,
let's go.
And get your flight.
I've had a gutful.
The mobile phone you are calling is switched off or not in a mobile service area.
come on. Brian's got a flight to catch, so we let the great man go. And Spud, the last time this happens.
Okay. Right. No, we'll get him on next week. No, we will. But
you can pre-record him.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, Duck. No, Duck, you have been excited.
Hour,
no,
really?
I know that. He's excited and he's flat. So I can't apologise because he's out of radio range. So what do I do? All I say is I can't get him on, and I'll try and get him on next week.
All right, Duck, I want to ask you a question about, now that we've got you and we really appreciate you coming in early, I want to ask you about Trent Cotchin and what's been said about him in the press this week, because you were a very young captain, 21, I think, when you took over at the Kangas. Trent Cotchin's a very young man taking over the leadership at Richmond. Is too much made of what he does or doesn't do on field, in your opinion, or is it justified what's said about him?
In my opinion, excuse me, I think he's got better every year. Let's not forget, every year he's been captain, he's led this side into the finals. He had a bad game in a final. We've all done that.
Yep.
I think the criticism's far too harsh. I think that both he and also Murphy from Carlton are two young captains that are under all sorts of pressure, because they're in sides that are on that fringe. I mean, Murphy in a struggling side. I think the criticism. And for me, I love when Trent Cotchin, and I thought last year he had a great year as a captain. I thought he won games.
Yep.
He imposed himself on the contest. I remember the Collingwood game where he was absolutely brilliant. And I remember Sydney in the third quarter where he played a game like it was Dangerfield-like.
Yep.
Dived on the ball, kicked a goal off the ground. Yep. He was magnificent. What I guess my advice to him would be that the games like the other night where he had 38 possessions, those 38, I know I've openly said, not great possessions. I like Trent Cotchin when he plays in the way that we saw him play in games last year.
But
and
is
that's
that a
when
direction?
He goes in. And you know what? May very well be, because they've got different players at the club now. They've got some in and under hard nuts.
McIntosh,
and maybe
Lloyd.
They want him to be a bit more outside. Well, if he's going to be outside, I want to see him get the ball. I want to see him break with it, run 10, 15 metres and bang it inside 50 and hit targets. Not dinky kick sideways, getting handballs back. I think that's the criticism. It's the way he's playing. Right. Not him as a captain. I think that's he's a three-time best and fairest winner. He's a superstar of the comp. I just like when he plays that demanding style rather than the chip style.
Let me ask you this, Duck. My view of it, sort of helicopter view of it, is that Mark Taylor's, Stephen Kernahan's, they don't come along very often. These people that walk straight into leadership roles and are born to it and do it instinctively and brilliantly from the first moment that they inherit those positions. They are very, very rare people. Mm-hmm. Most leaders learn to do it on the way. So they start, they haven't got every box ticked, but as they get on and on and on, they get better and better and better until we end up with a Luke Hodge now, who's a brilliant leader of his footy club. Yep. No way Hodgie was as good at it when he started as he is now.
Right.
So this is where I think some of the criticism is harsh, because I'm not sure, looking at Trent, I think he's a really nice bloke, I'm not sure that he's a natural leader anyway in a lot of ways. So he's going to have to learn the caper along the way. And
that's a very good point. Because he has done exactly that, and I think he's getting stronger. And if you remember the Hawthorn game last year where he went up to that person you're talking about, Luke Hodge, got into him at the start of the game, and Hodge's gone, geez, where has this bloke been? Yep. And that he's brought that into his game, and that is something that he is trying to improve on. And from all reports, he's a lot better at it. Yep. He's more demanding on his teammates. He's a lot stronger. So I think it's very harsh. Just on that, the ex-players, and we... You know, a lot of us are ex-players and we all work in the media, Spud.
Yep.
I tell you what, it's very easy sitting up here the microphone and having easy pot shots at players that, because, and you have to remember that you played, and there's a couple of very high-profile players that have lined up a couple this week.
Yep.
Jesse Hogan's the other one.
Yep.
He's played 22 games, Jesse Hogan. He's a victim of playing a great year in his first year. I mean, why aren't we saying that about McCartan? Why aren't we saying it about Tom Boyd? Just because Jesse Hogan's come in and had a great year, we can't be a match winner every week at his age.
Just on Jesse
Calm
Hogan.
Calm down.
A couple of the media guys on the weekend said, emerging superstar. Now, how can you be an emerging superstar? You can't. You're either a superstar or someone with potential.
I think that's a fair description.
An emerging superstar?
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to be a superstar?
Yeah.
I do.
Well, I think he's come off a rising star.
I want to see it first before I name him.
Well, I think we saw it last year, Spud.
We saw glimpses.
And Damo, that's the reason why people, he's now, he set a standard. And people think, well, obviously the scribes or the experts think that he has to reach that standard. At his age, he's not going to reach that standard every week, weekend. There's going to be inconsistencies.
What did you say to him during the week?
Well, now that it's out there, I basically...
Were you disappointed it got out there?
Yeah, look, when you catch up with someone, I am disappointed that it got out there.
You had a coffee, though, in a pretty well-frequented cafe, though, didn't you? So it's going to get out.
That's all right.
Someone from Melbourne put it on the agenda, didn't they?
Yeah. But if you don't want to get out, Duck, I'd have it behind a closed door.
Anyway,
if that's the issue.
Not everyone hides in bins, though, mate.
No, we went to the Domain Cafe,
now
I think.
That it has. That's a separate issue. Yeah. But what was the tenor of the discussion?
Look, the gist of the conversation was that he's a young man. The first thing that I said to Jesse was that, you know what? Unfortunately, Jesse, you've had a great year in your first year. There's an expectation on you now, so embrace that. Don't hide from it. Don't run from it. Embrace it. But for him, he's a young kid. It's all about work rate. We discussed a little bit about his game and how he's gone about it. We discussed a little bit about his body language. And you know what? And the one thing I'll say about his body, it's not a disappointment with the rest of his team. Mm. It's disappointment with himself. Yeah. He gets frustrated that he's not playing to the level that he knows he can play to. So. You know, he's just a kid, and we forget. This is one bad game. Mm. The week before, he won the game for them in the last quarter.
Did you consider at any stage that you maybe wait a week and have that coffee, given he's playing against your old club on Sunday? And his best game ever was against your old club last year?
Oh, really? I didn't even think about that.
I'd prefer you do next time, mate.
I know we're going back to Trent Cotchin and we've gone on to Hogan, but it was quite interesting at Hawthorn. Sam Mitchell. Was a good captain, and he was a premiership captain, but they soon superseded him with Luke Hodge. Now, my point with that is, I think Trent's a very, very good player. Is he a good leader? Let's hope he is. To me, the guy that actually looks like at Richmond he could be the leadership, but I don't think he wants it either, because he beats to a little bit of a different drum, is Rance. Rance, to me, epitomises leadership, because he's big. And he plays big. A bit like yourself, Duck, and he's a great player. But, Damo, you'd know more about this than me. He probably doesn't embrace the off-field issues that a captain has to espouse. Is that a fair comment?
Again, I don't claim to know him, Spud, but from what I hear about him, I think you're right in saying that those off-field issues, and they're not questionable in a footy sense, but I think he does have a lot of other things in his life that would, I think, preclude him from being a captain of that footy club right now.
Don't put your finger out of me, Spud, because we've got some nice feedback from the Wolfpack and they're very interested. Well, I don't know. Damo?
Damien Clark. Spud, right out of his depth. Oh. Not a good week for you, Spud. This is over 55 stuff. Spud, Adrian Pickles, poor. Jim, I can't get to all of them.
As you know, at James Brayshaw, Global and Trending Instagram. Yeah. Paulie Reason, he regularly loves the show. Spud is well and truly cooked, you reckon? Brand beyond repair.
No, my brand's flying.
Ash Harvey, come on, Spud. That was very shaky. Sit in the corner with your head, hands on your head.
Warrior.
It's a thing.
So this is because you couldn't deliver Plugger again.
No.
We waited all week for this.
And all for those media box guys, they're all listening, and they're having a chirp out there.
Jay-Z was laughing openly at you.
Yeah, he needs to say no at the dinner table. That's what he needs to do. That's what Jay-Z needs to do.
We got Duck in here. And there was a question posed 10 minutes ago, Damo, about how the King used to fare when he wandered down to centre half forward and Spud just happened to sidle up next to him.
I did say late. Did you start in 89?
First year.
Yeah, I said 89, 90, 91.
Yeah.
I was sort of at the top of my form, which was pretty good at best, but no, it was okay. But then 93, you're getting older. You're getting older and I'm on the way down. So you're on the way up. And I just said 94, 95.
Yeah.
We halved a lot of contests. What do you remember at Duckard?
Oh, look, I don't remember a lot of blokes that I played on, but I remember because I had a lot of respect for Spud. So I actually remember playing on you, because I remember going down thinking, you know, Victorian player, captain of St Kilda. I was very, you know, there's a lot of respect there. So I just thought, you know what, I'll take it a little bit easy.
Yep.
So when you had four to quarter time.
So anyway, what have you got, Warrior? You better have something concrete. I just deal in fact. All right?
Better be something.
I just deal in fact.
Well, I did take it a bit easier. I remember that.
Virus,
well, what's your stat?
Well, there's six Brownlow votes available when teams play each other twice in a given season in 1994. Well, Duck, even despite abusing, I'm sure, the umpires on the daily, as he did pretty much every single game, managed to get five of those six Brownlow votes on offer. Miss managed to take a lazy 10 marks, 24 disposals, four goals, four.
How many Brownlow votes in one game?
In the first time you played each other in 1994. In the return game, just made to pick up 24 disposals, 11 marks, and four goals, one for two votes.
So five, six, eight goals in those
two games when you felt you were, what'd you say, split the deal?
I halved the contest.
So eight goals.
Five Brownlow votes out of six?
Yep.
That's crap.
you get five in your life?
Are you saying the two man's made that up?
Well, he'd want to be right with his facts. Is that fair dinkum?
It's come straight from Ash Tumas.
Well, I had no idea about
Jeez,
that.
You've had a bad game. Sorry, the next one, they've only got two then. Five out of six. Maybe I didn't go as well as I thought I did then, Warrior.
No, maybe not.
You look pretty smug with that too, don't you?
We'll get on the 95 in a minute too. But I'm
Tom
sure
Lynch,
the
we're just hearing, comes out of the Adelaide side that game playing a little bit
Does
after
he?
Ours.
That's
because he's... I think the birth of his second child. So
well,
comes
that,
out.
That's a big out. He's a real barometer for them, and he's that. Dare I say it? He's that real Lynch man in between. Yes. And when he plays well, they win.
Yep.
So that's a massive out.
It's a lethal combo, isn't it? With Jenkins and Walker and Betts, and Lynch has become an equal member of the... I reckon they bought
Chaplin back into that side to cover that tall forward line. So. Interesting to see where he lines up now with Lynch out.
I know we'll talk the preview with St Kilda and Collingwood. A big game for both clubs, but Duck tomorrow, and I'm really excited about the game tomorrow. Hawthorn and the Bullies, one of the glamour teams. They've been outstanding, but now they come up against a team that showed West Coast that we're still around, and I reckon Clarko again. You have a look at Alistair Clarkin's record against guys who been an assistant under him and gone on to coach. It's outstanding. Other than Richmond, Damien Hardwick might have done a little bit, but he loves coaching against his little former assistants. Luke Beveridge, I think, got them playing just scintillating form, Duck. It probably is the game of the first three rounds. I know that Hawthorn Geelong, but I think now the Bulldogs, we can make an assessment after tomorrow.
Could be the fastest game in AFL history tomorrow. I mean, seriously, if they... Yeah. And the Bulldogs are playing a very similar brand to Hawthorn. And you're right. I think the big thing that Hawthorn will bring is they'll bring a ferocity at the start of the game. If the Bulldogs are in it at quarter time, game on. What Hawthorn do to challengers, they smash them in the first quarter, game over at quarter time. Yep. Bulldogs have to be in at quarter time. If they are, then I reckon this will be an absolute ripper. I can't wait. I know today's going to be a big one, but tomorrow's just a beauty.
I think Jason McCartney copped a lot of criticism with the Boyd one, and that's yet to come good completely. You know, we're talking $7 million over 7 years, Warrior, but the other parts of the puzzle that McCartney's recruiting staff have put together, and there's one player in particular. He's been through three drafts. His name's Marcus Adams. I want you to watch him closely tomorrow, Duck.
Yep.
He's 22. He benches 165.
Wow.
Now, that's right up there. Yep. Travis Cloak, they say about the same. His 20-metre run is about 2.85, 2.9, which is in the top 15 percentile in the draft. Kicks the ball really well. But you know what he is, Duck? He's tough. This guy's 22, and he would slot into both these teams out here and most teams at the moment. No one's talked about him a lot yet. He's the success story so far for mine. Of all the guys who have never played AFL football at the middle. I know it's only two games. Yeah. He's going to have his hands full tomorrow, Duck. I want you to watch him.
I tell you, the fastest minds in the game, Hawthorn, against the fastest legs in the game.
Oh, I like it, Duck.
That's tomorrow. This is St Kilda and Collingwood today. The boys, along with the great Komet, are going to do a beautiful job of previewing. He's ready to go. Don't worry about Komet.
He's flat
to
plug. It didn't come on as well.
Give me
a clip.
He's got an expectation now, Komet, that you'll under-deliver. That's where he's at. He wasn't surprised at all when Plugger didn't come on.
I'm going to back over something. Take that confidentiality thing back on me. Billy, yes, but not me,
I think
Joe
the two
Bo.
Of you are heads bobbing.
No, you're right up there in that conversation.
No, it's not. That's un-Australian, Joe Bo.
Shut up. The footies on Triple M.
Triple M rocks football.